Welcome to Think Like an Integrator, a podcast for business visionaries who love to dream but lack a team to do it all. I'm your host and integrator, Kat Schmoyer. When you know how to integrate, you will always be able to innovate. I'm here to tell you how. Welcome to the show. Hey, y'all. This episode of Think Like an Integrator is another team one, which I'm just so excited that you guys are getting to know so many of the awesome women that work behind the scenes at the KS Agency. And one of my awesome copywriters, Meg, is joining us today. She's also one of the first employees that I hired. So that's so cool, Meg. I love that history for us. And I'm excited that you're here. I'm excited that all of you guys listening can get to know Meg. And I know what we're going to talk about is something that every single one of you has thought about in your online business. Or if you haven't thought about it, we're going to teach you how to think about it and really use email marketing to your benefit. So Meg, I'm so glad you're here. Would you just introduce yourself and tell everybody a little bit about your background?
Sure. So I am a writer. I always have loved writing since I was a little girl. And I don't think I realized that I could do writing as a job ever. For some reason, I never connected that. And so I was in a transition from another job I had, and I wanted to write professionally, but also have some flexibility to be with my kids and work from home. And I ended up taking a course and learning about copywriting and realizing I had actually been doing copywriting without realizing it in my previous job. And so that was really exciting for me to learn that there was a job where I could write and get paid for it. Yeah. And so I started working for Kat in October of 2021. Like she said, we were a little baby team compared to now. And it was just, we had a small handful of clients. And I have been here now for over 3 years and have enjoyed getting to know, I think I counted the other day, over 20 clients I think I've written for or been part of their projects. And so that's been really fun for me to learn about different industries and meet different people and get a lot of experience as well.
Yeah. And I'm thinking back to clients that you've worked with before, or even current clients. And I feel like, I don't know why, Meg, but you always get like the long form clients, like that want like everything in an email.
Well, you know what? That works. It works really well for my personality because I typically am a longer form writer. And I enjoy that. I enjoy seeing, this is where I start getting really nerdy. I enjoy seeing the story arcs come to life in different email marketing strategies, which is really nerdy, like I just said. But I love that. I'm always jumping in saying, let's add more storytelling here about this. Or I love thinking about ways that we can help them connect with their audience better. And so I do enjoy the longer form ones, even if it is literally
just good.
Pages and pages and pages of a Google Doc later.
I know, like dozens of pages. That's crazy. I don't do it on purpose. It just always ends up that you have like our long form.
It works out for me. I don't mind.
So what would you say, since you've been with the team for so long, this is like definitely a selfish question, but I'd love to know if you have a favorite part about writing for the KSA team.
Honestly, I really enjoy meeting new clients and like playing a part in helping them accomplish their dreams. I even remember telling you that in our interview. Like, I am a cheerleader. So if somebody else has something that they're really excited about, I will get on board. And I'm such a team player that like, I will love what you're doing with you. And so I get really attached to our clients. I mean, like there are clients that I wrote for several years ago. And I still think about the things that they produced and what they put out in the world and that people bought them. And I celebrate that. And when they move on, I get really sad. Like, it feels like a little bit of a breakup, you know, where it's like, man, I know that your brand is your baby, but I kind of feel like the auntie, you know, where it's like, when I'm writing an email sequence or a sales page or whatever I'm writing for you, it's like, I kind of feel some of that ownership too. So I love that I can help other people accomplish their dreams. And I think the copywriting does play a small part. Well, I would argue it plays a big part, but you know, it's a part of the process. And so getting to be part of that feels really fun and exciting to me. So that's what I love the most.
I can so see that in you. I remember at our first team retreat when we were doing kind of our round table, like, okay, like constructive feedback, like we're all in person, like how can we grow and like work even better together, like in the next year? And I remember you bringing up that you wanted to know more about like the launches. Like you were like, I'm writing, I'm like pouring so much into like Google Docs. I'm like, can I see a launch tracker? Like, can I know? And I'm like, it was like this, like, light bulb moment for me of like, oh my gosh, like, why am I not showing that to men already? Like, of course you would want to see, you know, like the data and like figure out like which emails worked better. And, and so that was so cool to like see you and like your desire to like want to like be so involved in, okay, what happens next? Like, after I give you this Google Doc, like then what? And I love that in your personality.
Yeah. Well, when you're taking on somebody's voice and writing with them, like you really do feel like you know them. So, one of our clients lives in the same town I live in, and I was at a playground and I had met her before and like knew her previously, but I heard her voice and immediately I was looking like, where's Becca? Because I knew her voice from like listening to all of her podcasts and Loom videos and whatever. And it's like, I would recognize, there are many clients we've had where if I just heard their voice on an airplane, I'd be like, where's Hope? You know, like, where are those people that I have worked with? Because I feel like I know them and they do not know me, but that's the beauty of it. Like I get to be part of their vision too. I love that part.
So good. So good. So we've said this several times that like you write a lot of email copy. So it made sense when I wanted to do a podcast interview with you, I want to focus in on emails. And so I'd love to, let's kind of start to dig into that a little bit. And like overall, why do you think email marketing is so critical for specifically online small businesses, like the ones that we're working with?
Yeah. There's a few things that I think are important to know about email marketing. One is that it's really effective. I think sometimes we think, oh, nobody looks at email. Like I want to be up on the latest trends on social media and all those things are really important, but, people open their emails daily. Like people are opening their email multiple times a day and they're looking for things in their inbox that are going to be directly related to them. And so it's just a really effective way to market to them. They have given you their email address. So they're trusting you with part of, like they're basically welcoming you into their online living room. Like you can come and have a voice in the things I'm going to open. It's not controlled by an algorithm. And so you get a chance to come in and effectively say, hey, this is who I am. This is what I have for you. That's going to help you. So I think it's very effective. With social media and other platforms, obviously those are important too, but you don't own those things. You own your email list. So again, like Instagram could go away, TikTok could go away, all these other places where you're meeting people can disappear, but you own your email list. You have that in your possession and that's something that you can continue to interact with the people in your audience. So I think it's also really important just strategically to be thinking through from a long-term perspective. Yes, there's fun trends on social media, but I also want to be making sure that people have an email list because that's what they own. And then the third thing I think that is so crucial about email marketing is that you can streamline it and use it passively. So you're not having to sit there and every new person that joins, you're not writing an individual email to them. Like you can streamline it so that things are running in the background when you're doing other things and you're working on other projects and you're still able to connect with your audience. You're still able to nurture them. You're still able to show them, hey, this is how I can really offer you help in this area. And you could be sleeping, you could be on a trip. Like there are things that genuinely can be used passively when it comes to email marketing, that really help you make money even when you're doing other things for your business or you're just doing other things in your life. And I love that. I think it just gives so much freedom, that's out of your hands. And when you have it running well, it can be really powerful for your business.
Absolutely. So if it's, I mean, I agree with you 100%. Like email marketing is kind of like the lifeblood for a digital product business. And we need to be consistent and we need to have a strong email marketing system. So if we know that it's important, why do you feel like business owners struggle with it? Because I mean, we know this just, I mean, you mentioned the 20 clients that you've had the opportunity to work with, and that's just within the KSA brand. So there are businesses that still struggle. So it's like, we know we need to do it. Like, we know we need to go like take a walk and like get out of our room and like, you know, do something active, but like we still struggle to do it. So why is that with email marketing?
Yeah. I think it can feel really overwhelming. You're looking at all these pieces that you have in play and it can feel like, oh my gosh, I need to now write these email sequences or make sure that I have things polished and ready. And sometimes I think part of it is us making things more complicated than they need to be when it comes to email. Mm-hmm. But part of it is sometimes it's just hard to start. Like you mentioned, even some of those habits that are healthy habits, we all know like the hardest part is getting started. And so I think a lot of people don't know the best strategies or things that they're working, they are actually working harder on it and not smart with it. And so I think it can feel really overwhelming to a small business owner. Especially if you're not somebody who is like naturally a writer or, you know, you struggle with some of those components of your business anyway, I think it just feels hard to start. And we all know that feeling of staring at a blinking cursor. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. And even though I love to write, I write every day. It's still, that happens to us too behind the scenes. And so, I think that overwhelming piece, it makes you feel inconsistent with it. You start and stop and then you're not actually using, strategies that would be helpful for you. And, I think the overwhelm is just the biggest piece of the puzzle there for why it's such a big struggle for some people when they think about email marketing.
Right. I completely agree. I mean, and there were definitely seasons when I was getting started with my own email marketing, like before doing this for other people, that it was overwhelming for me to figure out, okay, well, what's the best system? Like, how can I make mm-hmm. sure I'm actually going to do this? And what do people want to hear from me? And how long should my emails be? Like, just, there's so many things that like yeah. are a part of that overwhelm, you know, and then you can just like play that narrative in your brain over and over again. So then you're just not doing it. So
exactly.
I'm sure that some of you guys listening to this have probably avoided writing an email. In your past or maybe presently, maybe right now you're like, I should send my weekly newsletter and I just don't want to, like maybe next week. So Meg, what are some things that we can tell people who are actively avoiding writing emails right now?
Yeah. I think one thing is you can start small. I think that sometimes all it takes is saying, okay, I'm going to commit to making sure I have a welcome sequence for anybody who comes into my business, like who maybe downloads the opt-in I have, or who takes my quiz or whatever way you're first connecting with people and they're saying, I want to learn more about your business. Start with something small and simple, like a welcome sequence or like creating a regular rhythm. I think the statistics are really interesting. Like if you're only sending one email a month, then your open rates and the amount that people are going to engage are really low. But if you move up to like 2 to 4 times a month, even it quadruples or so, it's something wild like that. I don't have the exact statistic in front of me. But just saying, okay, I'm going to be committed to making a regular rhythm of emailing them. And it doesn't have to be this like big, perfect thing. I am just going to start connecting with my audience. That is a really great way to start, because you can make a plan that is actually quite simple and then it doesn't have to be so overwhelming. So mm-hmm. that's the first thing I would say, is just to start small and simple, not making it complicated, not making it like it has to be this giant built out thing that, you know, these really successful business owners are doing. Just think, what is the way that I can give value to the people who are opening my emails and how can I connect with them so that I can begin to build that relationship? I think that's a huge part of it. I also think one thing that is really helpful when it comes to email marketing is that templates are your friend. So we're going to talk through a framework in a little bit, but I think when you think through emails, like you can literally follow the same outline for every email in terms of like how you pitch things or how you send your weekly content. And then you're not having to recreate the wheel every single time. You are just plugging and play and you're going to say, okay, I know that this week I want to talk about this thing. So let me plug that into my template that I already have and I can go ahead and send it out. I think just taking it, whatever you can do to take a step back and say, what's the first step I can make in this and how can I make it doable for me, I think would take a lot of overwhelm out from those who are just having a hard time even just beginning.
Absolutely. I love that. So it's really, like you said, making it so simple that it feels even sillier to not do it. You know, mm-hmm. So you're like, no, I'm going to take out all of these bells and whistles. I'm not going to make it difficult. I'm just going to sit down and create a routine and then have some templates that you can plug and play. And again, whether that's, you know, maybe your email is more newsletter style, or maybe your email is simply telling them to go listen to your new podcast, like mm-hmm. just like figure out what that system is going to be for you and then start to slowly implement that routine.
Yeah. Yeah, I will go back and think, okay, well, if one client is doing some sort of project, I'm thinking, oh yeah, we did something similar in the past or with another client. Like, I go back and look at old templates all the time. It's because I don't need to sit there and think, okay, what's a new strategy I can use? There are some really tried and true strategies that copywriters and marketers will tell you, like, reuse your content. If you're already producing something new on a podcast or YouTube, reuse some of that content in your emails. Like, you don't have to start from scratch every single time. If you had a sale last year and it did pretty well, go back and look at those emails and take them and just reformat it for this current sale. Like, you can reuse things, and that's okay. You don't have to start from scratch every single time. I think that can feel so hard when you're already putting all the pieces into play for like getting your products out in the world, that you're like, what, there's another thing I have to create, but you don't. You could just reuse what you have and just right. update mm-hmm. the language for whatever your current product is.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So if somebody, maybe they're thinking through like, okay, that is like a breath of fresh air, right? Like, I don't have to reinvent the wheel like every single time, but maybe they want to take some existing emails and make them a little bit more effective when they are implementing them into their email marketing routine. Like, what's a shift that we can make with our email copy if we are kind of rinse and repeating, but we don't want it to feel totally copy paste from the last time we sent that sale email or that launch email?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want to think through anytime you're doing any marketing, but especially in your emails, you want to think through what is the benefit for the person reading. So what are they going to get out of it? Not just the features of whatever you're selling. So let's say you're even selling the same product that you sold last year. You're kind of putting it out in the world again. You have another live launch of the same product. The features are the same. It's the same course, or it's the same guide, or whatever it is that you're selling. But what are some things that why would somebody want to buy that? And that's where you can get creative and begin to see some differences. So you can add more storytelling of why you love it, what made you create it, why this works in your business, you know, whatever it is you can do to kind of put a fresh take on like the actual person behind this product, I think will connect with your audience in new ways. And when you're thinking about what are the benefits for the person, why do they want to actually buy this, I think you're going to start to even win yourself over on your product, and it will make it easier to even write your email. So you're thinking, man, this is going to be so good for you. If you struggle with XYZ, I have this product for you. You're going to be like even more excited to want to sell it, and it makes it even easier to write. So just taking a step back and saying, okay, why would somebody want to buy this? I also love when we have the opportunity, if it's a previous product you've already sold, to share some of your student wins, or, you know, your client wins, your whoever, your customer, whatever, whatever they purchased, do they love it? How have they used it? And even getting to share some of their stories. So adding in some of that personal component, I think, is a way that you can really make it feel fresh and relevant to the people that are maybe buying for the first time, even if it's an old product that you've had in your shop forever. I think that that's a shift that you can make. And it actually makes your emails more effective when you're able to connect with your audience in that way, because they're seeing, oh, they're not just trying to sell this to me. Like, this actually will benefit my life or my business or whatever, you know, whatever it is that you're selling to them. So sharing some of that storytelling of why you think it matters for them, the things that have been helpful for you, making it more personal, I think will go a long way in making your emails more effective.
Love all of that. It like makes me think of, you're just like giving your emails like a little haircut. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to go in and just like delete the whole doc. Like, it's just, no, let's go through and think through, okay, well, what story did I use the last time I launched it? Does that work seasonally right now? Is that like, does that feel maybe more on trend with what's happening in springtime versus fall, or, you know, whenever you last did it? Also easily swapping out like new testimonials that you've gotten since the last time you launched it. Like, that can freshen things up. That can even freshen things up on the sales page, you know? So just kind of across the board, looking at what new customer story could I highlight and could I share, you know, to then focus back to the benefit of this product. So I think all of that, to me, it makes it feel less daunting to relaunch something or host another sale or get, you know, some more emails going, just to be able to do it that way.
Yep.
So when we're thinking about writing an email, you mentioned this a little bit ago that we're going to talk about like a 5-part email copy framework, which hopefully for those of you guys listening to this that are still kind of like, okay, this sounds great. Like I want to have some good routines with emails, but I'm still staring at a blinking cursor. Like the Google Doc is still white. Like what can we do here? Meg and I were talking through like a 5-part email copy framework that we feel like fits really any email that you're going to write. And there might be some nuances to it if it's a hard pitch email versus a, you know, nurture email or something like that. But overall, it is going to, like the emails that you're writing should contain kind of like this is the recipe for writing that email. And so we want to talk through what those 5 parts are. And I'm really excited to hopefully then you guys feel like you can actually implement this in the next email that you're going to be writing. So, okay. We're talking about the 5-part email copy breakdown. First part, the hook. So how do you, Meg, when you're writing in an email, instantly grab attention, specifically knowing that you're doing it with just the first couple of words? Or do you have like a go-to strategy for the hook of the email?
I have a few different things that I use depending on what, where I am in the process of like the email sequence or whether it's a sales email or just a generic content email. But I'll share them here. I think what's important to know is that you want to relate to them as a person. And so no matter how you're starting your email, you want to think of them when you're sitting down and writing, almost picture your ideal client sitting in front of you. And what would you say to kind of get them excited about this offer? I think when you start to personalize it, it becomes a little bit easier. And so a few of the ways I do this, I love starting with a story, but I love starting when we can start in the middle of the story or the end of a story and then go backwards. So you're almost giving them like the spoiler alert at the beginning. And then you're able to say, let me fill you in. So whether it's like, I came back from vacation and I opened my email for the first time and saw I had $10,000 in sales. Let me show you how I did it. And then you're able to kind of step back and say, here's a way that I'm going to grab your attention because wow, that was impressive that happened. I wasn't even working and look what my digital product did for me. And then I can share with you, you know, how I got there. I think starting in the middle or end of a story and then backtracking is a really, really great way to hook their attention. Sometimes jumping right in to tell them exactly what their problem is right away and then immediately following up with here's how I can help you fix that. That will really help them and resonate with them. Oh, I'm struggling with email marketing. The first line of that email says, you know how emails are really overwhelming and you're staring at that blank cursor or whatever it is you're going to start with. Let me tell you a little bit about email marketing. There's ways that you can kind of grab them by helping them resonate immediately. Oh, I have that problem too. And then sometimes, honestly, I think the best thing to do is not bury the lead and just jump right in with what the offer is and then add some storytelling in afterwards or some benefits of why it's helpful. In 2024, 361.6 billion emails were sent per day. Like that's literally insane to me. Okay.
Wow.
So we all know what it's like to receive a million emails in our inbox and we know what it's like to not have a lot of time. And so there are some times where you're going to want to just jump in and say, hey, I'm going to cut to the chase here. I'm hosting a sale. It's 50% off everything in my shop. Let me tell you the details and then I'm going to break down what it's all about. And I think when you think about it that way, I wouldn't do that every single email, but I think it's important to pepper that in here and there as well so that people aren't like, oh my gosh, I have to scroll through all this text to find out why they're even writing with me because you're going to lose their attention. So again, if you're storytelling, I want to start in the middle or end of a story and then kind of backtrack, or I want to jump in and tell them their problem right away. And then also I want to sprinkle that sequence with some things where I'm jumping right out the gate with here's the offer. Let me tell you about it. And even sometimes right then in the hook, I say, are you interested? Like click here to join right now. And that way the people who are like, I need that, I'm going to click right there. They're not having to scroll through the bottom of your email. So I think you can use those 3 strategies will immediately help your hooks improve.
Love that. Love that. When we are, and what I also like that you said about that when it comes to hooks is specifically in a sale, you're likely sending more than just this one email. You should be at any
rate.
because if people are like, we're getting that many emails, we're not going to see all of them. And so it's good to have this mixture of let's do a hook that starts in the story. Let's do a hook that just introduces it right away. And let's try a couple of different things throughout the sale period. That's going to give you good data on emails and like how those hooks are, you know, connecting with the audience. And just like you said, Meg, like that's going to help the people that are like, I don't have time for a story.
Right.
Like, just tell me why you emailed me. Tell me right now.
It's like when you look at a cooking blog and you're like, I just found the recipe. Like, you know, there's sometimes where you want to read them, but you're just scrolling through to the bottom.
All the way to the bottom. Just the recipe. Yes. I don't need the blog about it. Just tell me the recipe. Yes. That is my life, I feel like. Okay. So we know hook is part one of the email. Next up is the value. So this is kind of like the meat. You're really trying to provide the value and going back to when you talked about like the benefit. So we want this to be about the person. I think a mistake is that people make it too much about them if they're writing, and it needs to be like about the person reading the email. And so how do you ensure that when you are writing content, the value is there instead of feeling just like fluffy and not helpful for the reader?
Right. Yeah. You, again, this is where I really picture who is the person I'm talking to as if they were sitting right in front of me. And I want to think about them. So I, again, I'm leading with the benefits. I'm leading with why this matters to them. Even if I'm telling them a story about me or my background or how my business got here, I'm going to bring it back around to, and this is how I'm helping you do those same things. And so one thing, just an encouragement to remember here, is that these people, they're on your list for a reason. Like they, for whatever reason, they decided to give you their email. They're inviting you into their virtual living room. And so they, if they're opening this email, they're there for a reason. They have some level of liking you and knowing you and beginning to trust you. And so you can actually greet them and bring that value, that who you are and what you already have to offer there. I think sometimes when the fluff comes in, just like you said, is when we're too focused on, here's my product and this is why I want to sell it to you. And we're taking the human element out of it. And so it begins to just feel like, honestly, like a robot or like, you know, those cheesy infomercials that we all used to see growing up of like, you don't actually know me or care. You just want to get your bottom line. But when you're entering in saying, I see you as a person and I actually think that what I have matters, there you go. You've already added some value to them because you're giving them something that you know that they need.
Absolutely. And I like what you said too about just remembering that they're on your list for a reason. Like, and to me, that is easier than even when I'm thinking about Instagram. Like, I can't tell you how many people I've like might even click and follow that I'm like, who are these people? Like, sometimes I forget. I'm like, oh, this one random blogger. Like, I saw this one thing and now I'm like in her email ecosystem or like her Instagram ecosystem. And I don't even really remember. Like, email marketing is different than that. At least I feel like most people handle email marketing differently. We are a little bit more like closed-chested about our email address. Mm-hmm. And so if their email, if you are receiving an email, then it's for all of us to feel like just confident and encouraged that like, no, they asked for this, like straight up, like they said, here is my email. Please send me more information. And so the information that you have is valuable. So just knowing that from the get-go to hopefully feel more confident, like when you were then sending an email. So you've hooked them in. We're feeling encouraged with like the fact that you do have value to add. And then now I feel like is probably the part you're the best at, Meg, is like the connection part. And how can you authentically build connection in an email?
Mm-hmm. I feel like I just keep saying this, but be human, like tell your story, be personal. My favorite brands that I've gotten to work with and write for as part of the KSA are the ones that have the most like fun brand voice where it doesn't even have to be like they're super bubbly and fun, but in the sense that they are writing like they talk and, you know, polished up a little bit, but they're writing like they talk, they're excited about what they're doing and they're selling. And you can feel that too. It makes it fun for the reader. Like they're like, oh, you love what you're doing, or this is really who you are. And I love who you are. And I want more of that. I think that being personal and allowing people to really hear you and see you as, you know, you're an expert in your field. Yes, you have things to offer, but you're also a person. I think that wins people over. So again, like I said, talk to them like they're sitting down with you, or remember, just give yourself the confidence that you actually do have something to teach them. You do have something of value that you can give them to relate to them. And you don't have to be like these super, super polished, gigantic brands that we see all over the place. Like, you don't have to be Google. You don't have to be Nike. You don't have to be these Target, right? Even, you know, like you're a small business owner for a reason, and you're able to connect with them and they want to learn from you. So when you have the confidence, like, I can actually just be a human. I don't have to have perfect emails. I don't have to have these things, but I can build a connection there. Then you're going to build more trust in your email copy, and they're going to want to say me too. Like, they're going to want to say, oh, you've done that. It actually doesn't take much to get a person to say, oh, me too. I can relate to that too. Or I want that too. It can be a really simple one line that catches somebody and says, oh man, that really resonates with me. And I'm going to buy from you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to learn from you, or whatever the action that you want them to take is. So again, just be human, you know, be personal, be able to sit down. You know, you're behind a screen, so it feels impersonal there, but just again, picture them right in front of you and say, if somebody was sitting here and I could tell you, this is why this product matters for you, think through that lens as you write. And I think you'll be able to build connection.
Absolutely. And I know we joked at the beginning that you have the most long form email copy clients. So for some of your clients, you know, it's a paragraph of connection. But for other clients, it's like two sentences.
Yeah.
So I think we can also like give ourselves permission that connection doesn't mean your testimony. Like, you don't have to go that deep. And maybe your brand, you're like, well, my brand's not really like that personal of a brand. I don't really want to talk about a ton of personal stuff. You don't have to do that to build connection.
Right.
You can think of just a few commonalities that would, just like you said, Meg, like humanize you and really allow it to feel like you guys are on the same level, and that customer sees themselves in you or in the product enough through that connection. So it doesn't have to be a paragraph or two. It can be just a few sentences.
Yep. Sometimes even just a one liner of something that, was like a game changer for you. You know, like, I woke up one day and realized I was running myself into the ground by working in this way. Then I learned how to streamline my business, and let me show you how to do it. I mean, it's like sometimes the smallest sentence, or like, that can sometimes just grab someone's attention and say, I can relate to that. Like you said, it doesn't have to be pages and pages of a Google Doc or an email where they're scrolling and there's pictures and there's GIFs. Like, it can literally be a line that you've bolded in your email, and they're saying, oh, wow, I'm immediately drawn to that. And I feel that way too. And so I'm going to keep learning and keep reading more and purchase your products.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So we've talked about hook. We've talked about value. We've talked about connection. Now, number four, the offer. So obviously this part is in a pitch email. If this is a nurture email, there might not be an offer associated with it, or it might just be more of presenting an opportunity for a product versus, you know, a stronger hard pitch, and that's okay. But when we are working on having an offer in there, what do you feel like is the key, essentially, and making that sales pitch feel natural after you've just given them value, added connection? And now we don't want to like come across sleazy or like have, you know, I feel like a lot of people have this connotation with like, well, I don't want to sell too hard in an email. Like, I don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. So like, how can we make it feel natural?
Yeah. Again, like, they gave you their email for a reason. And so they do actually
need,
want
like,
to hear
a t-shirt or something.
Yeah.
Like, come on, people. Like,
yes. Like, they are interested in what you are saying in whatever form it is that they first met you. They are interested in what you are saying and what you have to offer them. And so you can have the confidence to actually sell. You can say, this is what my product is. Let me tell you about it. And again, that can just be a simple let me point you to my YouTube, and it can be a longer, let me tell you all the features that are in this course that I have that I'm selling to you. But I think that when you remember, like, okay, they actually do want to hear from me. Number one, have the confidence there. And then two, I want you to strike a balance between saying, oh, you know, like, you can buy this if you want, click this button, but no pressure. I don't want you to, you know, if you're really waffly on it, they're not going to be interested. But on the flip side, if you're on the other end of, and you're kind of like the, but wait, there's more, like, let me tell you about these things. And it kind of feels cheesy, or it kind of, it, people will be able to see through if it's an empty offer. Like, they will see through right away and they'll say, that's not real. I don't actually believe you. And they're not going to pursue anymore. You want to think through, like, how can I kind of be in between those two extremes where I'm able to say, hey, I actually am really confident that this is going to help you. And let me tell you why, without making some kind of blanket statement that feels like you're over promising. It's just too good to be true. That's where, again, if you're being authentic in who you are, I think that you can come into the middle there and be able to say, let me really directly tell you how to purchase it. And then, and be confident in that and not shy away from it, not hide behind it, not say, you know, you might like it, like, click here. You can say, I think you're going to love this, Kat. Click here to find out more. And then it can be just as simple as that. I think the more that you do that, the more natural it's going to feel, and the more your audience is going to expect that as well. So when you've created that, like, this is how my sales emails are set up. Again, going back to the template thing, like, if you already have, this is exactly how it goes, then you can easily type that in there and press send all that email and see what happens, you know, like, you're giving them that. So I would say one like pro tip of what I do is I begin being a learner of what emails I like and who I'm receiving emails from. And so if I read an email from somebody and I'm like, oh, that actually really got my attention, I'm going to kind of copy and paste that somewhere. Like, let's say, like, a notes, or you have a board on your Trello where you're like, this worked really well for me. You can learn from them and use that same strategy in your emails. You can, you know, you don't want to, like, completely copy and paste, but you can use similar phrasing or strategy there to say, oh, that actually worked for me. Maybe it'll work for my audience, and test it out and see if the people who are interested in you actually feel similar to you about what works to sell to them. So that's kind of like a pro tip of something that I do, is I pay attention to what other people are doing, and save the ones that I really like and kind of let the others go. But I think, again, I think being authentic to who you are, you can be direct in saying, I have this offer for you and I think you would like it. And it doesn't necessarily have to come off salesy and cheesy there.
Absolutely. And then our final section, I'm bringing it up now because it goes hand in hand, like, with the offer. The final section in the 5-part framework is the CTA. So, like, that call to action. So obviously, if there is an offer, like you said, you want to point them to what that offer is. Like, there needs to be a button, or there needs to be a click here to learn more. Like, we need to be bold in saying that, still authentic to the voice that your email already has and in the approach that you want to have with your customer, like, potential customer, but that CTA needs to be present. And most of the time, I know you and I have said, you know, one CTA per email, because we don't want to make them think, well, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to click here? Or am I supposed to reply all and, like, tell Kat this one thing that she's asking me to? Like, no, let's, like, pick a CTA and, like, run with it. But how do you feel like, or what is a tip somebody can use to create a CTA that somebody will actually click on and go over and check out that sales page?
Yeah, I see the offer and CTA so in hand that I actually, like, didn't even mean to talk about the call to action in the offer, but it's so important to me that when you're actually presenting them with something, you want to immediately give them a chance to purchase it. Like, those things cannot be split up. And so I think when you're crafting a CTA that people will actually click on, like, if you have teed them up really, really well already in your email, then as soon as you tell them the offer, you can give them the opportunity to go ahead and go. Like, not to get too sports related, but, like, you've literally teed them up. Okay, here's the ball. Now hit it. You make it so obvious to them that it is impossible to ignore. So a button that stands out, that's going to be really helpful for people who are skimming. I think in the past, we've tried out with a few different clients, even just using a color, a shade of red for the call to action button. Like, your eyes will literally be drawn there. I like using really simple words, click here, join now, like, join today, shop the sale, things that are really obvious to them of, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. I will follow it. Like we are not that different from children. You know, I want you to do something. I'm going to give you a really simple command for it. It's, I'm not like, you know, trying to like talk down to anybody here, but you can be really straightforward and honest. And you, anyway, you can also add personality. I'm in, let's do this. Like phrases like this that are really simple. Oh, yep. I agree. I'm going to click there. I think that will really help. Even just formatting wise, things like bolding something, you can actually try out with your audience. If you're doing a whole sequence, you can use buttons, but you can also throw in one and see, what if I just bold and underline a whole line of text that says, click here to purchase this course for X amount of dollars, and see, maybe that will attract some people differently than they would with the buttons, like if they're skimming. One other strategy I use is people are drawn to seeing their name. And so if I've shared about this whole course and why it's important for them, I'm going to then do add their first name here, you know, personalize it and give them one last like name. I think that you would love this course for this reason. And then immediately the button, because their eyes, they're automatically, if they're skimming, they're going to see their name. They're immediately going to go there. And then you can immediately give them a reason to respond. And so that's another strategy that I like to use in most of my emails, is to bring their eyes down from the first greeting, bring their eyes down at the end, right before the CTA, so that their eyes are back there and they're like focused. Oh, you said my name again. Let me pay attention. And then yes, right there is a button to, that they can respond. Again, to the one call to action, where they're not confused. Right. Like, right, am I supposed to do the freebie or am I supposed to buy the course? You know, like which thing, right, am I supposed to do there?
Right. Let's point them to one spot. And I love all of those tips. And I think it's also helpful to note that, of course, we want to have the CTA tied right there where the offer is. So if you're following this framework, you know, of hook, value, connection, offer, CTA, you know, you're going to have that offer and CTA be hand in hand. But then maybe you do Meg's method of, well, let's actually introduce the offer in the hook. Let's go ahead, mm-hmm, and tell them right up top, this shop's on sale, 50% off. Like, then have a CTA there, y'all. Like, don't just tell them with no like click action. Mm-hmm. We need them to take action wherever there is the offer, whether that's being introduced in the hook or that's waiting towards the bottom. So just note that that is something that you can kind of play around with in your emails too, is maybe having it in a couple of different locations. I've even had clients test out, like, visually, the button is at the top of the email. Like, again, we're just testing different things. Rather than the button at the bottom or the button in the middle, we're putting the button right there in that intro paragraph. So don't be afraid to like try out some of those different things as you are writing that like offer CTA section.
Mm-hmm. And I would also say adding a PS can be a very effective strategy as well. And so when we've had clients who really like adding a PS, or if I've just started adding them into their email without them asking for it, what I want to do is either give like a brief summary, like a really short, hey, my offer to join X course is ending tonight. You can grab it for this amount of money. Click here to buy, and literally have a button right there in the PS, because a lot of people are going to skim and they'll get to the bottom, mm-hmm, and they'll see what's there. And so you've kind of given them a really quick summary, and you're catching those people too, who aren't going to sit there and read through the whole thing. Maybe they just scrolled through anyway, and they're just like, what does Kat have to say today? Oh, PS. Oh, she has this course. Oh yeah, I wanted to join that. Click there. They can go ahead and use it. So adding a PS can be also a really effective strategy. Even if it's for content, you can use a PS as well. Yeah. Hey, did you know I had to make a YouTube video out about this? Click here to watch now. I mean, it can be really simple, super, but there simple. You go. You've, mm-hmm, given them an opportunity to respond and interact with you.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Okay, this has been so good. There's like so much here. I'm excited for all of you guys listening to like get a chance to try out this 5-part email framework and like just kind of go back and re-listen to all of this awesome content that Meg shared around writing email copy and ways that you can write email copy that humanizes you. I feel like that's like a little secondary title for this episode, maybe. It's just like, how can we do that? How can we be like authentic? So to like wrap up the episode, I'd love to put maybe I'm a little bit too negative. I made Aaron do this too when we were doing sales page, but I love to learn from people's mistakes. And so I want to know, like, is there a number one mistake or like just one of the top mistakes that you feel like you're seeing online business owners make in their emails? Because all of you guys listening, like, let's avoid whatever Meg tells us. Like, let's not do that when it comes to writing our email copy.
I would say one of the biggest mistakes that I've seen our small business owners make is not having a strategy. Copywriting is literally all about formulas for a reason. Like, once you begin to see the formula, it, like this framework we just shared, once you begin to see that, you can't unsee it. And the reason is because it works. Like, as people, we like to know what's coming and what's expected, and we're going to be drawn to those things. So of course, there's going to be things that you want to like surprise them and catch them and say like, hey, look, let me tell you about this story or whatever. But in terms of the strategy for your email, like, literally these formulas are there for a reason and they work. They don't have to be boring. Like, when I say strategy or framework, if you're a visionary and you're like, that sounds like a nightmare, I have to do the same thing every email, like, I don't mean boring. I just mean like, let's be smart about this and let's have a system that works for you so that you can just add in all the fun and pizzazz, but you're still following a framework because it actually does sell. It doesn't have to be boring. You don't have to sound like a robot. Like, if you want to, you can plug things into ChatGPT and it can sound like a robot for you if you want it to. But you don't have to do that. You can still be a human as you're writing these emails, but follow this framework so that it actually does work for you, even if writing isn't a natural strong suit for you. So I think what these frameworks do is it allows us to be creative within these, not necessarily boundaries, but again, like a framework or a system that you can say, I can be creative within these things and still make sure that the work I'm putting into this will actually have a return on it. And I just as an encouragement, I was reading something the other day about email marketing and saw that there was a study that one email platform did that found that their people, for every dollar they invested in email marketing, they saw a $42 return. Like, that is crazy to me. Like, it is actually worth your time and your money as a business owner to say, I'm going to put a little bit of effort into my emails. I'm going to follow a strategy that works, and you will see a return on this product. Like, if you are really following this marketing, if you've really captured your audience, the right audience for you, and this is a product that they need, then email marketing is a no-brainer in terms of return on investment. Just a little bit of work can go a really long way for you. And again, when you find something that works, you go back and you say, okay, let me take this framework from last year. Let me put it into play for this year. Update a couple of things to make it sound fresh. Change the subject line. There you go. Like, see what happens again. And you can still see results using the same framework over and over and over again.
Absolutely. That is like, just like you said, we don't want anyone to feel like stifled, you know, in the work that they're doing. And I know visionaries, like, you know, anytime we're like, there's a boundary, and it's like, let's break the boundary. And we're like, yes. No, let's not. But I that's why I liked the term framework for this, of it doesn't have to feel rinse and repeat. It doesn't have to feel like it stifles you, but it's something that is proven to convert. It's proven to bring dollars in, and that's what you want your sales emails to do. So following that strategy is going to give you the most out of the time and effort that you're putting into writing those emails in the first place.
Yep.
Yeah, so good, Meg. Oh, goodness. Okay. Lots of stuff to unpack in this episode. And I'm just so grateful that you jumped on with me and got out of your coffee cave of writing with all of to talk to me about writing. And
thank you for letting me nerd out about my writing. Like,
so good. I love
it. No one else cares, but let me tell you, you guys care because you're listening to this, but I'm like telling my friends and family, I'm like, listen to this about emails. They're like, I literally don't care. But you do care because you buy things from them. Okay.
Right. So
anyway, thank you for letting me nerd out about email marketing, Kat.
No, I'm so glad you did. I'm so glad. And y'all, if you guys have questions as you're listening to this, send our team a DM on Instagram and we'll make sure that Meg gets it. Shoot us an email, whatever you need. We are here and I'm excited. If you guys implement this 5 framework, please tell us, like, again, like the nerd out of us and like Meg being the cheerleader, like, I know that she is going to want to know.
I will.
If you implement this. So definitely let us know if you guys implement it. And thank you guys for tuning in today.